Hello, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time and welcome to Conscious Living. I've interviewed a lot of people over the past, two or three years in this format and hundreds in a different format in radio. Of all the people that I enjoy talking to, I like those who have a really vested interest in what they're doing and they're living it daily in one way, shape, or form. So that's the conscious living part. And it's not that everybody doesn't have a valuable contribution to make. It's just so fun to watch and tag along with people who are getting these results that are so dramatic and, in a way, ahead of the curve for the rest of us. They give us ideas of where we can expand and explore. And Rose Dan is somebody I believe does that quite well. And you know, she doesn't give a speech about it. She doesn't get on, just out there preach it. She just does it. She just lives it. And the book, if you want to find out more about her, Tales of a Healer, it's about animals, Reiki, and shamanism. And Rose is very active. She's been extremely busy the last month or two since I talked with her last. Some big events have happened. And I'm excited to find out the results of those. So, Rose, you can start wherever you want, a real brief bio, you know, what you do, and then let's just dive into it.
Okay. Well, my business name is Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing. And it was funny. My neighbor asked me last night, she said, you know, people have been asking me, what is it that you do exactly? And I thought, how do I summarize that? Yeah. Basically, I have kind of several things going on. I offer healing sessions for people and animals using animal communication, Reiki, shamanism, and a couple other energetic tools. And I also teach classes in Reiki and shamanic practices for daily living. In addition, I also write about the experiences that I have. The book is, and its articles are one result of that. I have a blog. I've got some more publications coming out, hopefully. But the writing is a way to get the information out to people, to get them, you know, to spark the idea that they can do this too. Our connections with animals don't have to be just, you know, oh, gee, I have a pet. They are actually ambassadors for the wild world. Through them, if we access them as teachers, they can teach us an awful lot about how to be in the world, how to be happier, how to be more connected. I know people talk about that, but I had the opportunity to take that, you know, to another level when I recently took a group to Earth Fire Institute in Driggs, Idaho, and the experiences we had there were just phenomenal. And prior to that, as you were saying, I was involved in a series of ceremonies actually here for the Duwamish River. I'm located in the Seattle area. And the Duwamish is actually a Superfund site. It's a sacred river to the Native Americans who called this area their home. And it's taken, I guess you could say, a beating with a lot of industrial interests that have set up along its shores. And there's been a lot of contamination. And so back in earlier this year, Eileen Day, who's another Reiki master here in Seattle, she had contact with Dr. I always get his name wrong, Masaru Emoto. We'll just call it Dr. Emoto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works.
Uh-huh. Hidden messages in water. And he worked out a way to take a sample from a body of water, a lake or a stream or a river or the ocean. I don't know if it does work. I think it's all fresh water. And have it frozen so that the crystalline structure of it was visible. And what he found was that bodies of water that were highly polluted could not form a crystal, or the crystal pattern was extremely distorted. And he discovered by the power of intention, positive intention, that could be changed. The water could change its crystalline structure. So, in other words, from my perspective, he proved that energy or intention has a positive impact upon our environment, and that shift and change can happen not only from the practical standpoint, because of course the Duwamish needs to be, you know, needs physical assistance in being cleaned up to support its health and the health of its wildlife, but it also can be shifted more quickly by bringing in the energetic factor. And I had known that prior to Eileen's paths and mine crossed actually on Facebook. I love these, you know, modern technological innovations as a way of keeping people connected. But prior to that, I had been called by Spirit into working from a shamanic perspective with the environment and the animals. I was doing, I had been called, guided to do a series of despacho ceremonies, which is a Peruvian, basically gift to Spirit, which contains our prayers, to work around the situation of global warming and our loss of connection with the animals that we share this world with. Because I had been having the animals reach out to me and say, basically, you know, we need to rebuild the bridge. You know, if we lose this connection, if the thread snaps, basically, we're all going down together. Not to put a not to sound too dire, but you know, and of course, there's truth to that ecologically speaking. I mean, it is a chain. We all we've forgotten that we're part of the circle of life, and that's having a huge impact on our lives as well as on the lives.
And part of this isn't new information. It's always been a focus in certain indigenous cultures to remember that what you do has, in some way, shape, or form, an impact on the greater environment, the greater whole. And so it isn't that all of a sudden there's this dire message. To me, it's like a remembering of, okay, kids, it's great that you've got all this technology, you've got all these fabulous new drugs, you've got all this wonderful way of healing and all this stuff, but remember where you live. And what has provided all of this, the resources that you are drawing from, and how your influence is crucial if you don't put back some of what you are taking from that, you know, from that gift. Does that make a little bit of sense?
Oh, yes. And, you know, I would never claim that what I'm doing is cutting edge, because these practices have existed for probably as long as we've had, you know, formed as tribes or groups. It's, as you say, we've forgotten. But the animals are reminding me to remind everybody else. And our animals in our homes remind us too. But I feel like I have a very interesting job, because I never know what, you know, is going to be dropped in front of me. And getting involved in the ceremonies, from going to holding the group despachos for the public to then bringing that to with Eileen and Shari Garfinkel, who's a sound healer. So three people from three different backgrounds, we started integrating and co-creating ceremony and ritual, which would then be structure for the public, with public ceremonies, which we did by the Duwamish River. And actually, Eileen had it videotaped. She's actually in the process of creating a documentary of the entire series, which I was privileged to be part of. Several of them, I couldn't make all of them. And it just was really interesting to see people come together, people answer the call, see the shifts and changes and feel them energetically as people brought intention and positive, you know, thought to the river, a remembering of the connection to and the importance of water in our lives, as well as the wildlife. I mean, it was fascinating in sacred space to watch the wildlife respond. We had geese and ducks participating in several of the ceremonies. The last one, they lined themselves up. We were at the shore by this point for one part of the last part of the ceremony, and they lined up in a semicircle, each duck facing us. So it was as though, as we were lined up on the shore, we were a semicircle, and they completed the other part of the circle. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Powerful.
That's to me, that's a mirror of saying that we are receiving. The energy is being received and
mm-hmm.
mirrored back to you. And that's
mm-hmm.
a way for spirit to just give you a visual or give us a visual that we may overlook if we're not open to that kind of message or that kind of symbolism in our environment.
And it's not just a symbol. I agree with you. It's important to have validation, but it's acknowledgement on my part that the animals are actively attempting to connect, reconnect with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they used to be part of the ceremonies, the rituals. Interactions were done from a sacred perspective. It was equals. It was not, you know, dominating and, you know, dominated. They were not a commodity. They were partners in this world together.
Mm-hmm.
So to have them participating actively in ceremony is just, it always makes the hair in the back of my neck stand up. I know that's the way it's supposed to be. To see it actually happen, to feel it, is just so moving.
Well, and I agree with you that the animals are trying to get our attention and trying to give us messages and trying to see who's open, who's listening, who's receptive. And they approach us in whatever form that we are most willing to accept, whether it's a bird, a dog, a cat, a bear, an image,
mm-hmm.
in the dream plane. There's just so many ways that we can access the information and the knowledge and the wisdom. But it's wonderful when a specific live, living, breathing animal takes you under their wing and says, I am here to connect with you. And then you learn a whole new way of being, that we just have so much more ability than what we are currently accessing with our intuitive sense and our own just regular day-to-day logical sense, the rational sense, that we are, at this time, I believe, evolving that, and the animals are our partner, helping to assist us through
yes.
the process.
And I have a story for you about that I think that you'll like.
Yeah.
It's about a wolf named Cucumber who lives at Earth Fire Institute. And the purpose of the weekend was to take people there in ceremony, in sacred space. And through a series of energetic exercises, ceremonies, shifts, changes, to break down the barriers that we have and to strengthen and rebuild that connection. And at the same time, because of the event took place on the weekend that was just prior to, on the October 4th, World Animal Day. And the event I did get it listed on World Animal Day, which was founded on the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi.
Right, right, the blessing of the animals.
Right. So energetically, from a shamanic perspective, that then enables us through the ceremonies, which we built it in there, to be able to access and clear energy, assist in that anyways, as everybody else was doing around the world. So, a big mission statement, I guess you could say. And, of course, I invited the animals at Earthfire to participate with us, told them why we were there, what we were doing, et cetera. And the experiences that we had were just mind-boggling, but Cucumber is a wild wolf. And she's had, I understand, two near-death experiences where she's been, like, you know, pulled back from the brink by Susan and Jean, the co-founders.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, she's become very, you know, she's become accustomed to them. They've
yeah.
only recently opened up their wonderful place to groups. We were, I think, maybe only the third group. And so she'd not had, you know, a lot of direct group contact. And the class took place in a yurt. And John said, well, let's go get Cucumber and see if she'd like to participate. And she had been in the yurt with them when they do their daily meditations. They told me that she had trained herself to be a house wolf, which I was told means that you don't have your house destroyed in 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
Apparently wolves are not very house friendly.
Oh, darn.
They're very inquisitive. And so he came to the yurt with her. They stood at the bottom of the steps, and I could hear them talking. He told us later that what he did was on the way. He told her exactly where she was going, what she was doing. He told her that she was going to be a representative for all of the animals there and possibly for other animals. And, you know, that this was totally, you know, if she wished to do this, that was fine. If she didn't, he respected that. This was going to be her choice on her time. And they waited a couple minutes before coming in. She actually walked up the steps herself into the yurt. Her tail was between her legs, but she did it.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in, and she came around to each of us, and she sniffed each of our feet. She went around the circle, person
uh-huh.
by person, greeting us, just sniffing our feet. And you could see her tail relax. You could see her trust, which was a huge lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
I like about that is that you're giving us a real clue here that she is acknowledging each individual with her mm-hmm. own ability to sense the intention, to sense the energy of the situation. She's and everybody's allowing her to express herself in a unique way, which sometimes there's not a good environment to do that kind of thing. With a sacred ceremony, it just changes everything.
Yep. And then she did the most incredible thing I have ever seen. After she had greeted everybody, she came to me and she stood in front of me. And she looked up at me and she looked me right in the eyes, which she hadn't done with people. And normally they don't stare. You know, it's not done in the wolf, canine, or animal world to stare deeply into a person's eyes. But
mm-hmm.
she did, and it wasn't a stare. It was her eyes were very gentle. It was not curious. It wasn't, you know, It was
yes.
completely open.
A meeting.
And she said to me, I want to be the best ambassador I can be. And I felt her, we connected on a very deep level, so deep that it took me a while to realize the full implications. But in essence, everything that, you know, the intention I had stated for the weekend, she stood for the animals, and I ended up standing, in a sense, in that moment for the people. And it was powerful, and she just let me in. And I reached out, and I touched her, you know, and I said, I made her a promise out loud, which I'm sure she's going to hold me to.
uh-huh.
Which she said, you know, I think I said I'm not sure if I said we. It is on videotape. I haven't seen it yet. But I said, I promise that I will, you know, I will do everything for you that I can. And I meant her, the wolves, you know, and all the animals. But right now, especially the wolves, because they are, you know, the heart of a huge battle, legislatively speaking. At first they had their, you know, protections removed. Then they were restored, and now they're trying to cut up the law so that, you know, entire wolf families have been decimated. And I say families because they have family structure the same way we do.
Yeah.
And they grieve. I know that there's stories out there, but Earthfire has a story of, you know, when one of their wolves passed, at the exact moment that the spirit left the body, every wolf on the property began to howl.
Mm-hmm.
They're connected.
Yeah. That gives me goosebumps. I believe me, I completely understand. I felt this. This isn't something that's foreign to me in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you are doing what you're doing, because You know, we feel so small. We feel so powerless. And then if you look at it from their perspective, good grief, how powerless must they feel? We're their guardians. We're their support system. We're those who can speak on their behalf. But the flip side of that, when it comes to being consciously aware in another realm, in another space, they are the ones who can speak on our behalf. What have we done to help them? And so that's a way of making this circle real. And what you agreed to do is no small feat.
No, I realized that the words were coming out of my mouth that I might be biting off more than I could chew.
Yeah, we do that after we realize it's out there and echoing.
But it came from the heart, you know? And the thing that really, you know, that people overlook is that despite everything that we have done to this world and to, you know, to the animals, we collectively, not necessarily, you know, but
right. Yeah.
They're still willing unconditionally to meet us if we show that we're moving in the right direction. I'm like, that's a huge lesson unto itself. There's no, well, look what you did to us in the past. It's, okay, you're here, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that's different in that, in the animal universe, animal kingdom, animal environment, is that they don't go back to see what laws were broken back in 1620 and say, well, you did that, blah, blah, and bring it back out. Instead, what you're saying is that you are in a moment of opportunity, of potential. If you are willing to shift, we are here. It's a present tense that constantly reminds us that when we want to make changes, we have to drop some of the old barriers and old hurts and wounds before anyone can go forward.
Yes, and that was actually part of the purpose of the weekend. Part of the exercises we did was to heal something within ourselves that held either people or animals, you know, at a distance. And in so doing, you know, you break those barriers down, but you also, as you shift that, because of the global, you know, intention, it helps to contribute to shifting that around the world. And each step is a step closer. A very wise female coyote at Earth Fire said to me, and her name is Pimpernel, she said, in every situation, there is an opportunity.
They are so simple in their ability to give us insight and support. It isn't you don't have to read a discourse that resembles War and Peace. You just get that immediate inner knowing, and that there's a warmth and a resonance that comes with it. That you know it's logical, it's legit, it's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that for me is because the word. Don't come from me. They come from some other origination, and that one happens to be standing right in front of me. It's amazing to have these kinds of connections and not really understand how it works, but just believe and know and feel it and allow that to speak for itself.
Yes, and to receive, you know, validation from various places because, for example, the results aren't back yet, but they've taken test samples of the Duwamish River before the sixth ceremonies, and then they took another sample after the sixth. So we're still waiting to see, you know, what comes out of that. But based on past results, you know, there should be some visible validation. But with respect to our work at Earthfire, one of the other visible pieces of validation was we did a fire ceremony in the wildlife garden, which is where we met some of the larger animals. And they were not present in the garden at the time we had the fire ceremony. And the following day, a visitor to the place was getting a tour and met two of the wolves in the garden. Well, the two wolves that were let into the garden, apparently they got it on videotape. I haven't seen it yet. We were still in the yurt working. Apparently the two wolves headed straight to the fire pit, you know, which of course had you know, it was all cool by that point, no danger, and immediately dug it out and rolled in the energy. The energy of the ceremony that we had done on behalf of people, animals, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
I was, while you were talking, pardon me for having to be on time here,
mm-hmm.
but I was looking to say if people are interested in Earth Fire Institute and Wildlife Sanctuary, this is a beautiful place. It's not like there aren't wonderful other beautiful places on the planet.
No, but they have a very special relationship with the animals there. They meet them as equals, and they definitely need support. The work they're doing is very, very special.
And that's why I think it's just extraordinary what you are participating in. And you also told me before we started taping that you're going to be going back. It's a 40-acre wildlife sanctuary, and it's in the Yellowstone area, and they are really trying to show how this can work and how what we are doing does make a difference.
Yeah.
If you want to check it out, earthfireinstitute.org, and there's some videos you can check on YouTube. Right now I'm going to post a link on my Facebook page. But I want, Rose, for people to get in touch with you to learn more about what the shamanic element of this is and, you know, Reiki, how to work with animals, how to connect with them. I really think that you are, you know, on a wonderful path and have a way of communicating this and being that bridge, that mediator between the two that gives us a larger view of how we can successfully make this transition. So what would be a good way for people to connect?
Thank you, and they can connect with me through my website. There's lots of information there. It's www.ReikiShamanic.com. That's ReikiShamanic.com. ReikiShamanic.com. There's also a tab on there with which will connect them with my blog, which has lots of articles, as well as I am on Facebook. They can look under Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing, and they should be able to find my page. But there's also a link on my website and my blog. So I'd be happy to hear from people.
You know, if time flies so fast when I talk with you. I want to hear more stories. I want to hear more details. I want to hear more of the connections. And
well,
following along with some
process,
of your posts helps.
I'm in the process of writing them up. I have photos to go with it, and it will all be posted probably in an installment series in my newsletter if you or others want to sign up for it. I think you're already on it. But
Yeah, and I haven't. I'm like you. I have so many irons in the fire.
Uh-huh.
But I want to post some of the stuff again on PetSense and some of my other blogs. I also want to take time to recommend real quickly while Rose is with us. There's a book called Kinship with All Life, and it's
mm-hmm.
written by J. Allen Boone. And
yep.
have you read that? Are you familiar with it?
I have read it. It is a classic in the world of animal communication because
it's
real life
brilliant.
Stories. It's one man's progress. Understanding that you can communicate with animals on a different level.
I think it's brilliant. It includes different stories like the one between the fly and the ants and the dog he worked with on a regular basis who taught him so much. This dog was absolutely an exquisite being who gave him a break. And he realized, well, okay, you're on a learning curve here. I think I can kind of work with that. He said the first time he let the dog into the house, this is a highly trained dog, a show dog, a competition dog, a dog that was used to performing, but also used to knowing that he knew best in some situations and allowed to have his own head. So he wasn't in no way, shape, or form a trained tech.
Mm-hmm.
He was a trained, working, employed, talented performer. So when he came to visit, he was being caretaken by this underling, this student's work in progress. He went through and he opened all the doors in his house, checked out the closets, made sure, you know, all by himself, the dog knew how to do all these things, made sure the house was hospitable and there weren't any, you know, surprises lurking, pretty much claimed ownership of the space and said, okay, fine, I'll stay here.
Yeah.
You know, so this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. When you allow your cohabitants, who happen to be animals, to give you their own perspective of what's going on, you might be able to get some really, really valuable information in return. And that's what I think, Rose, you're doing is helping us find out how to make some of those connections.
Thank you. And some of the stories in my book, Tales of a Healer, Animals, Reiki, and Shamanism, give people that kind of in the short form, like the one on two dogs, which, you know, validates kinship, you know, with all species.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Well, if you're trying to find out more about either Rose or me, please, you know, just get on the internet and Google. You'll find out you can make the connections there too. Sometimes listening is like, I can't write all this down.
Mm-hmm.
Or just rewind. Ha ha ha. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time. I'll post a few little links on Facebook as well. And again, I want to keep contact with you because you keep exploring and moving out there and bringing back fabulous information. And I think that animals are the key to where we are going in our progress and our evolution. And I'm looking forward to learning more about all of this as we go.
Oh, thank you. And I am too. So thank
you. All right. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed talking to you as always.
Excellent. I at this point, I haven't got a date in mind to reconnect, but I think we'll work on that as we go. And in the meantime, we've got to close out the show. So I'm turning to Rose's mic. I'm sorry, Rose. Bye, bye, bye.
It's okay.
All right, thank you. And aside from that, if you want to find out more about all the other shows on Empower Radio, please get on empowerradio.com, check that out. And there are a lot of shows here on TalkShoe that are fun to listen to and check out too. So explore your world. Remember, there's a whole lot of good stuff out there. And as you're doing that, hold the highest thoughts because that's what you put out. Just like the water we were talking about, we are in a fluid universe. It happens to connect us through thought, through mind, through consciousness. And we are all in this together. So hold the highest thoughts and know they'll come back to you in some way, shape, or form. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.